Okay, good afternoon. I am Joe Broadhurst, and you are listening to CKUT Radio in Montreal, Canada, 90.3 on your FM dial. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by a Thomas Naylor from Vermont. Good afternoon, Mr. Naylor.
Greetings.
And you represent the Second Vermont Republic, is that correct?
Yes, I'm one of the founding members of the Second Vermont Republic.
Can you give us a little bit of history about this organization and what you're trying to do?
Well, we organized about 2 years ago, held a small statewide meeting at that time, attended by about 50 people. Essentially what the Second Vermont Republic is, it's a peaceful, decentralist, voluntary association opposed to the tyranny of corporate America and the U.S. government, and it's committed to returning to Vermont to its status as an independent republic, and also to the peaceful dissolution of the empire, the United States of America.
Now, you're a former professor emeritus of economics at Duke University, is that correct?
Right. I taught economics at Duke for 30 years until I moved up here in 1993.
Now, just this past week or a couple of weeks ago, you had a conference in which you passed a resolution, is that correct?
Yeah, it was the first statewide convention on secession since May 20th, 1861. It was held in the state house, the state capitol in Montpelier, Vermont, attended by well over 300 people. And basically, the objectives were to raise the level of awareness of Vermonters and people outside. There were even a number of Canadians there, of the possibility of secession as a viable alternative. Essentially, our concern with the United States is we think that the government has basically lost its moral authority. The government has no soul. The country as a whole, we see, is unsustainable, ungovernable, and unfixable.
Now, as a state, is it possible for you to maintain your economic viability if you secede from the union? Is that a possible reality?
Not only is it possible, it's quite probable. Many Americans have the mistaken view that secession somehow is synonymous with economic isolation, and you know, nothing could be further from the truth. It turns out of the 200 independent nation states in the world, 50 of them actually have smaller populations than Vermont. We have 620,000 people. Of the 10 richest countries in the world measured by per capita income, 5 of those are smaller than Vermont, and they include Iceland, Luxembourg, Liechtenstein, the Cayman Islands, and Bermuda. So my answer to your question is not only can Vermont survive, it would thrive. I mean, there are like 600 Vermont firms that are engaged in international trade. We see no reason why that should not continue. We would, you know, we'd trade with other states, with hopefully continue trading with Canada, Quebec, as before.
And what are the next steps involved in your secession? How do you, you need to raise public awareness, you need to spread your message, obviously, but politically, how would you actually go about seceding from the union?
Well, the next major step is actually to convince the state legislature, and that's why we were so gratified that we could actually hold this convention in the House chambers of the, in the state house, is that we must convince the legislature to call a real convention. You know, ours was in a sense like a mock convention to raise the level of awareness. We need a real convention proportionate to the population of the state, maybe 200 representatives, to consider one and only one issue, namely secession, and we probably need a two-thirds vote on that. Once we've achieved that two-thirds vote, then we take it to Washington and seek recognition by the United States, by other states. We also seek diplomatic recognition from Ottawa, from Paris, London, Brussels, and other capitals of the world. And then come back to Montpelier and start behaving as though we actually thought we were an independent state. And at that point, maybe we pray a bit.
Is it in your state constitution that you can succeed?
It doesn't actually say anything about it in our state constitution, but it's our view that it certainly is within the realm of the U.S. Constitution that secession is legal. It's constitutional, even though most Americans are unaware of that.
And because in some states like Virginia, there is a stipulation in the Constitution that says you can secede, right?
Virginia, Rhode Island, and New York, when they came into the Union originally, they had so-called escape clauses saying that they could escape. Vermont has no such escape clause, but part of the argument is if three states can escape, what about the other 47? But ultimately, our constitutional argument rests on the U.S. Constitution, the 10th Amendment, which says basically if the Constitution doesn't say you can't do it, then the states are allowed to do it. We're unlike Canada, which fortunately since 1998, actually, when Prime Minister Chrétien appealed to your Supreme Court, he got a ruling spelling out a paradigm under what conditions a province can actually leave the Confederation. We have no such ruling and no such paradigm.
Do you have you gotten a feeling from the state legislature that it's something that they would consider? Have you talked to some of the members and do you have a feeling that they would listen to something like this?
Well, if you'd asked me that question, one day before the convention, I would have had to say, no. But there were several legislators who attended the convention. Some were there all day. A couple of them helped us negotiate the arrangements to have the convention in the State House. And I would say that there are easily a half a dozen legislators that we know of at the moment that are sympathetic. But needless to say, this is where the target of our efforts will be focused in the next few months. We're in constant contact, sending mailings and information about what we're up to and the rationale underlying our movement. But, I mean, realistically, we don't expect to convince Vermont to secede. That's in many ways what will be left to external forces, the most important of which is George W. Bush. Every time President Bush opens his mouth, we recruit more members and the price of gold goes up. The two are not unrelated. But other factors that will contribute to Vermonters, changing their views on secession will be the whole peak oil crisis, what I call the cheap oil endgame. Our keynote speaker was James Howard Kunstler, and he talked from his new book, The Long Emergency. I think the end of cheap oil is going to probably put more pressure on the country to rethink the union and Vermonters in particular. But a crash in the economy, a crash in the dollar, another major terrorist event. If Bush were crazy enough to try and reinstate the military draft, these are the kinds of factors that will push people over the brink, not the Second Vermont Republic. We're just simply trying to educate them to say it's legal, it's constitutional, and it's economically feasible. Do you want to go down with the Titanic, or do you want to consider other options while there are options on the table?
And you're receiving support. I noticed on at least one press release, they stated that you had support in five countries and several other places in the world that are supporting this action. Is that true?
Well, we have members in five countries, 20 different states. I mean, obviously, most of our members are from within Vermont. We've had an interesting relationship with the Parti Québécois up in Canada. We received an invitation last spring from the vice premier of the Parti Québécois, and my colleague Jim Hogue, who's a French speaker, and I both attended the 15th Congress of the Parti Québécois in Quebec City last June, and it was really fascinating. I mean, even though they have not formally endorsed us, simply to be invited was a kind of implicit kind of diplomatic recognition by an important political party in a neighboring country, and that was very satisfying.
Part of getting the word out about this movement is participation with the media. Are you seeing any welcoming of this by the media in Vermont? Or I have seen several stories outside of Vermont in large papers which have mentioned it. But are you seeing any support for that in the media?
Oh, absolutely. No, the media attention, it was slow coming. I mean, you know, secession is really anathema. I mean, it's one of the few things that liberals and conservatives agree on, that secession is bad. So, you know, that's what we were up against. But no, at the convention coverage from the Vermont media was excellent. I mean, the Associated Press ran a piece. It was kind of so-so piece, but it ran in every daily newspaper, Vermont Public Radio, the leading television station covers us. The turnaround for us in terms of media attention really goes back a year ago when we held a smaller meeting in Middlebury, attended by only 40 people, but it was really Canadian influence that contributed to the media attention. Le Devoir, the Montreal French newspaper, ran with the story 3 days later, front page, and it was then picked up literally all over the world, and then came back into the United States. The Nation magazine published a piece, but we're not having problems getting published. In fact, this very day, the Christian Science Monitor published a major piece on it that just came out on Tuesday, November the 8th.
Okay, well, I've been speaking with Thomas Naylor, and I want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. Your website is www.vermontrepublic.org, is that correct?
Listen, not quite. It's www.vermontrepublic.org, and then we have a second site that's vtcommons.org. That's connected with our monthly newspaper. We have a 12-page newspaper called Vermont Commons, and it has its own website, so two websites.
Okay, great. Well, I thank you for joining me, and I wish you luck with your efforts in trying to succeed. Sorry about that.
Thanks very much.
I wish you to succeed in your efforts to succeed.
Super.
And have a nice afternoon.
Thanks for your interest and support.
Bye-bye.
Bye.